this is Jonah Ray from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling, and I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for October 3rd, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflo.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. It's October. We have made it this far. Leaves are falling off the trees. It finally got cool around here.
It's really weird because some of the leaves fell as the last month as the weather was kind of tricking them.
Yeah, we had some drought going on, I think it killed some of the trees.
I don't think we had rain in forever.
No, we haven't had a lot of rain.
And then we also, now we're having the trees turn, but they're turning at different times. It's going to be a very interesting fall here in the Chicago area.
It's always a very interesting fall. You never know what you're going to get, but
things are getting spooky.
We've got a lot of spooky things happening. We got a lot of scary movies. We got the Turner Classic Movies we talked about last week, the marathon of so many great classic movies. I love this time of year.
This is a good time of year. It's just started to cool down a little bit.
Yep.
Not too cool. It's just like warm cool.
Warm cool. That is the name of my third album. Jazz Hits by Steve.
There you go.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see the Oscar winning, six Oscar wins for La La Land.
I swear, Steve, I thought we reviewed this early in the year. Nope. Because I thought you saw it.
I haven't. I have not seen this musical masterpiece. So you're going to have to tell me all about it.
All right. So my kids actually watched it when it came out on DVD. My wife and kids. They did not enjoy this film. But anyway, it's been a while. I got to see this film. I like this film a lot. And on a scale 1 to 100, I would say 60 to 70.
Okay.
So this is a lot of fun. The music of this movie is fantastic, especially this opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Hurwitz.
Yeah.
He also put together the music for Whiplash.
The also Oscar-winning Whiplash, which I also have never seen.
All right. So both of these movies are great.
I know.
I will say that he's created two jazz standards. You've got one from Whiplash and this dun 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 this song from La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a dreamy film. It's a kind of a throwback to the old musicals.
Right.
If you think it's like a Broadway musical, it is not. They use the asphalt. They use backyards as the background for the dance numbers and mm-hmm. stuff. There's songs. There's plenty of singing going on. The story kind of is I don't think it's straight ahead. I mean, you can follow it and stuff like that, but it definitely has sort of a, I'm moving to LA. I'm going to try to make it. And these are all sorts of people I'm kind of running into. There's the part where you're not quite getting what you want out of it. So, you know, Emma Stone's character works. She's making lattes and coffees and stuff like that. The Ryan Gosling's character, he's playing songs. He was playing Christmas songs, but he was playing really simple, like dun 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 dun. You know, and he certainly, as a skilled musician, was feeling he wasn't doing real well. He decides he's going to play around with that a little bit, which he was told he'd be fired for it. And of course he is fired for that. Eventually, there's a point where they sell out. And Emma Stone's character is going to get married and get started in life, I think. And then we also have Ryan Gosling's character decides to take a job in a band and tour, and it isn't his type of jazz. This addresses how we are taught by our partners, the people that we love. It addresses how we learn to appreciate things that we didn't appreciate. That Emma Stone's character at one time says, I don't like jazz. But eventually she does like jazz. I'm going to give you a little nod that many people probably didn't see. Emma Stone's character eventually married somebody. And do you remember the movie That Thing You Do by Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
You remember the drummer in that?
Yeah.
Shades?
Okay.
And you remember what his passion was?
No.
Jazz.
Okay.
And he was a jazz, but he went to play in this rock and roll band.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that was her husband at the end of this movie.
Is the same character or the same actor?
No, the same actor.
Same actor.
But he's there for that reason.
That's why he's there.
That's why he's there.
Wow.
Because eventually, you know, Ryan Gosling's character is to open a jazz club. Emma Stone's character is to be an actress. And, you know, they talk about the selling out they do. I think that there's a bad message in this movie. And that message is that if you sell out, somehow you've cheated yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's really true. I think that, you know, being a pop artist is a skill. We've shown that, you know, people like Alan Moore who create comic books, it may be a trash industry, but he makes the best.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, television shows may be second fiddle to movies, but my goodness, you get Game of Thrones or, you know, whatever.
There's some really great stuff happening in TV the last few years. The production has definitely changed.
But you can, you know, even from Andy Griffith's show and I Love Lucy, it doesn't really matter. You can still be in an industry that's thought of as pop and mm-hmm. still work to, you know, the high art. And, you know, I'm taking a Shakespeare course. And the point is that Shakespeare definitely was going against, you know, the lowest common denominator.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
The most uneducated person.
The groundlings were the ones who were paying the bills. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the queen was there, and the queen was certainly the one who was asking for this to be done, but he was playing to those groundlings.
Yeah, it was designed for the everyday consumption.
Yep.
And so I think that that's a message that's really missed here. But I will say that I enjoyed it. There's a dreamy state to it. There's plenty of what ifs. I think that if it's an homage to those old musicals, I think they did a wonderful job. And that's the reason why it got the awards it got.
Well, that and Hollywood loves movies about Hollywood. They really enjoy the mirror to their own work.
Well, and in fact, most of us, there's a song that Emma Stone eventually sings, and it's basically to the dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very powerful song because they're quirky ways. And I think in the song, it says something about, you know, we're the ones who spill things and make messes, but those messes make the life colorful.
There you go.
And change how we look at things.
Beautiful.
This is a there's a great part of this. I think we've got a nice writer here
mm-hmm.
that I look forward to seeing his future work. And Justin Hurwitz, I can't wait to see his work. There is one movie that I can't remember who it there's a movie that's part of this that Justin Hurwitz is part of. I'm going to be looking that up. And I'll be watching that at some point. We'll review that too.
Very cool.
But that's not all I saw, Steve.
Yeah, it's October, so you've started in on your horror movie viewing. You don't like horror movies in general.
In general, I'm not a big horror movie person. I mean, mm-hmm. I get the wit of Halloween and of Nightmare on Elm Street and things like that nature, but I certainly don't like seeing people suffer. And this is the one we picked, Poltergeist from 1982.
Yes.
While Steven Spielberg produced it, there is rumors that he directed part of it.
Well, Toby Hooper is officially the director. Toby Hooper, who is a horror legend. Maybe Steven Spielberg stepped in and directed some of this movie.
This is very Spielberg-esque.
Yeah. Yeah.
This doesn't hold up as well as many of the other movies. If you think of Jaws and you think of E.T., those hold up much better, I think, than this film.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly were exploring the idea of hauntings and the science behind it and the family dynamic of it. But it is what it is, and I'm glad I watched it. But yeah, if you're looking for something that would be family oriented, this is a PG film.
PG horror movie, so it's kind of on that same scale around Gremlins.
No, Gremlins I think is a little bit heavier than this.
Okay.
If you saw Gremlins, all right, if we compare Gremlins and Goonies
mm-hmm.
were both produced by Steven Spielberg.
Uh-huh.
This is on the level of Goonies.
Okay.
Not on the level of Gremlins. Gremlins is a little bit more mean-spirited.
Right.
In fact, that would almost be an R movie today, I would say.
Except for it was puppets that were doing the violence, maybe.
Okay. But we say that today. I watched it a couple years ago, and I was going, wow, that's certainly, there's a reason we have PG-13 now.
Yes. Okay. That is on that scale, no doubt about that. So did you enjoy going back and watching Poltergeist? You said it didn't age very well.
It didn't age very well. I'd say 50 out of 100.
And did you ever watch the remake?
I had not. In fact, that was my goal, was to get through that, and I just didn't get a chance to see it this week.
Maybe next week. We'll take a look at that, maybe. I've never seen the remake. I'm not into remakes very much.
This one was right for remake.
Is it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because the science has, when I say the science has improved, mm-hmm. the pseudoscience has improved on this.
The pseudoscience has pseudo-improved.
But the storytelling of this is ripe to kind of revisit and reinterpret and make it better. This movie could be so much better today. I'm hoping that when I see the new Poltergeist, it'll meet that need.
They're here.
Exactly.
You also got a chance to see the 1942 classic, I Married a Witch. This is on Turner Classic Movies that are showing so many great movies this month.
All right. So I started watching Forbidden Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think we've already reviewed that. I think we reviewed it last year. So I said, I'll watch one of these other classic, I'm going to say horror movies, but this is a comedy.
Okay.
Okay. And in fact, I went and read the reviews. It got really, really high reviews. There's a Criterion edition.
So a lot of people really like this movie.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they did. Steve, I don't think I've ever watched a lighter piece of fluff than this movie.
So
This movie is cotton candy.
In your house that watch Full House, and you're telling me that this is lighter cotton candy than Full House.
This is very, very light. This is kind of It's a Wonderful Life-ish. Sort of how it's a playful tale. The premise is this. A long time ago in Salem, Massachusetts, there's a family. There's something that happened, and a curse was put on them by the people there.
Very fairy tale.
Okay, yes. And so the next scene is a broom flying in the air and two whiffs of air talking to each other.
Okay.
And it's the father and daughter. And the daughter's going to interrupt this guy who's going to be running for governor. He's going to marry this woman who doesn't want to marry him. And their wedding ceremony is the day before the election. So there's our premise, Steve. Okay. It's all put together.
Very stage play premise.
She shows up, the witch, and she's naked, of course. And of course she's off camera because it's 1942.
Just off camera, something amazing is happening.
And let me get you a jacket, dear, and let's hide you. And anyway, he hides her, and she just winds up at his house because she just kind of shows up and blah 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 blah. And there's a wedding at the end. And what can I say?
1940s.
I don't think that it could get any lighter than this. Let's go to the double picture at the show.
Yeah.
This is not our parents. This is our grandparents.
Correct.
And so
there was a war going on. They didn't want to think about anything. They just wanted to go and have the something else to think about.
You don't have to watch this film unless you are a film lover.
Or if you really like Bewitched.
Bewitched is so much better than this.
Okay.
Darren is so much better. Okay. Esmeralda. And then you have what was the uncle?
So that would be more entertaining.
Far more entertaining than this film.
Okay.
Anyway, so there you go. Steve, what did you see?
I got a chance to see The Edge of 17. This came out last November, and we talked about it coming out, and I finally got a chance to sit down.
We talked about seeing this film because it looked good.
Yeah, and it is. This is a really good movie. I like this one very much. It is a coming-of-age tale from producer James L. Brooks, who you might know from The Simpsons. It is very Simpsons-ish, but it's not as comedic as that.
This is not animation. This is real life.
This is real life. This is Woody Harrelson and a lovely young lady whose name I don't know going through high school and all the tragedy that is high school. There's the young lady in this goes through a lot of different situations.
Woody Harrelson plays the dry teacher.
Very dry, very not listening to the student's concerns teacher, and he does it so very well. I admire his ability,
his dedication to this.
Sit through what she's having to say and then having something witty to say at the end. Woody Harrelson is a treasure. I enjoy Woody Harrelson on screen. This movie is it's very touching. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of emotion in this. This young lady's going through a lot of trials. A lot of things are happening to her, and she is feeling a little depressed. There's a lot of conversation about feelings and how to get through high school in this.
Steve, I've got a teenage daughter.
Yes, you do. I have a teenage son and another one who's about to be a teenager.
We can understand it a little bit.
We absolutely have a little bit of perspective on this from the father side. And
they just don't understand us, Steve.
The father side is definitely more aloof than the mother side. And the mother in this movie is very much a part of this conversation about what's happening, about all of these tragedies in this life. This is a good movie. I would say this is about a 70% to 7 out of 10 kind of movie. It's comedic enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's touching enough, and it really makes you think about what we're doing with our children and what we maybe should be doing with our children.
A little Ferris Bueller advice there.
Yeah, it's not quite Ferris Bueller. This is not quite what John Hughes would have made in the 90s or in the 80s, but maybe this is the movie that John Hughes would have made if he was alive today. This is what's happening in high school, I think.
Well, Netflix always has something great for us, Steve. Tell us what you got to see on Netflix.
I got to see another stand-up comedy. This one's Ryan Hamilton. His piece is called Happy Face, because this guy has the happiest smiley face you've ever seen in your life. He describes himself.
He's from Idaho, Steve. He's got to be happy.
That's right. He describes himself as if you were selling ice cream in the 1950s, this would be the right face. And he's an adorable guy. He tells some great stories. This is a very clean comedy routine.
He doesn't go blue, Steve.
No, this is very G-rated stuff. It reminds me so much of Jerry Seinfeld. He has a delivery that is very storytelling, like Jerry Seinfeld.
Or maybe early Bill Cosby, because Bill Cosby was a very clean comedian.
Storytelling.
Bob Newhart was too.
He's right there in with that list.
Okay.
Maybe not one of those greats, but I really enjoyed this piece. He was able to tell us a story about hot air ballooning. And ridiculous as it sounds, he had two people in the audience who complained about his hot air balloon jokes. And he went on to describe what it's like to be yelled at for telling hot air balloon jokes.
Steve, he's just not sensitive enough to the feelings of those people.
Right. I don't know how
comedians can even really work. They probably can work in clubs. They can't. They're saying they're having difficulty working on campuses,
mm-hmm.
because one of the joys is kind of making fun of stuff and just having enough.
And no matter what you make fun of, somebody's going to be offended.
Well, it's inside that moment. Mm-hmm. It certainly isn't to take outside the club and use in real life.
Right. We're not going to march on the hot air balloonists. There's no taking a knee.
Maybe
for this.
You won't, Steve.
But
maybe
some people
you
will.
Won't.
These hot air balloonists are filling our skies.
What's opening this week, Steve?
Opening this week, we've got the remake, or is it a sequel?
It's a sequel.
Oh, to Blade Runner. It's called Blade Runner 2049, the continuing story of... Is Decker a replicant? Isn't he a replicant?
Well, there's been lots of endings that they've redone on the original.
That's right.
They keep bringing out the new DVD or Blu-ray or 4K, whatever the latest
every
format's going to be.
Years, yeah.
I think they've determined that he is a replicant.
I don't know.
But
from the trailer, I still don't know which way this story is going to go. He certainly is grizzled.
Yes, but this is the first one is a really masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has received a lot of buzz. And I've read a couple of reviews that said best science fiction ever.
Wow.
Ever. That's, EVA, my friend.
That's pretty stunning.
So anyway, I have high hopes for this. Hopefully we get to see this before we record our next show next week.
We'll see what happens. We also have the chance to go see the My Little Pony movie. You know, My Little Pony from the 80s is now back, has been for for over a decade now, right? The new version of My Little Pony on TV.
Yes.
This is star-studded. You can think whatever you want to think.
Steve, this is our point where we talk about there's another group of fans that enjoy My Little Pony.
Yes. This is a children's program
that
adult men sometimes also enjoy.
A subgroup.
A very small subgroup of men enjoy this program as well.
They call themselves bronies.
Yes.
And if you are at this theater watching this, and there's a large group of young men, they're watching it with you. They're called bronies.
Yeah.
And they're people too.
And they enjoy this property very much. So. There's so many stars in this movie. There's so many stars that are cameo.
Maybe you can watch it at Neverland. At the Michael Jackson Ranch.
Maybe you can go to the Brony Convention.
Maybe.
There are Brony Conventions.
Oh, my God.
Just so you know.
Well, at least they have a movie to celebrate. You're saying that there's an appeal to this. Tell me about what the appeal of My Little Pony is, Steve.
The voice actors in this are many. There are so many names of people who have lent their voice to My Little Pony. Weird Al Yankovic, of course, being my favorite. He played a character called Cheese Sandwich. Cheese Sandwich was a character that's a pony and is patterned after Weird Al Yankovic. He has a Hawaiian shirt and a accordion, and stop staring at me.
This is our animation pick of the week for families.
Yes.
And bronies.
Well, okay.
A very special.
Think back to the 90s when the Gargoyles cartoon was on. That was a star-studded experience. It's a children's program that other people can enjoy too. This is okay. It's okay to enjoy other things.
Okay. All right, Steve. Any other children's? Any other movies coming out?
There is another children's story. There is a family story called Goodbye, Christopher Robin. This is the biography of A.A. Milne, who was the author of the Winnie the Pooh series.
It's the Pooh Bear.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get to learn about World War I,
right?
The dark times in England at that time, and how it sparked basically the inspiration for the Pooh stories. And we have all the stuffed animals that Dad and the child,
Christopher Robin,
yes, they would they would act out, and then they would ride out, and how it kind of took the world by storm,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, it really did. That is a story, a beautiful story about fathers and sons and telling stories and being creative.
And honey.
And finding honey. And then being able to
and
make
balloons,
that
Steve.
Into a book series that really did well.
And balloons.
And then Disney picked it up, and then Disney ran with it.
Well, Disney kind of takes every property and makes fun of it.
Except for My
I'm
Little
sorry,
Pony.
I'm sorry. I didn't say make fun of it. Actually, uses it as inspiration for their own property.
For their own property. That's right. Cold Moon.
Scary.
Is your scary pick of the week. This is a horror film from the writer of Beetlejuice and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Beetlejuice.
Don't say it again.
Okay.
Terrible things will happen. This is a story of a young lady who is murdered and then returns from the dead as a spirit. And we see a whole spirit world in the trailer where all sorts of spooky, very Halloween sort of things are happening.
This doesn't look like a comedy.
No, I don't believe this is a comedy. I believe this is a straight horror movie, but it's got that spiritual aspect to it. So maybe it's got a redeeming value.
All right, Steve, I want to make sure that our listeners know that we are not perfect people, that we've accepted the flaws that sometimes we bring to the our reviews or our presentation. We missed a movie last week that we should have mentioned because it sounds so awesome.
Yeah, the trailer on this one really looks like something we should watch, something that we would enjoy for the show.
It is playing in the Chicago area, just so you know.
Okay, it is called The Tiger Hunter. It opened on September 22nd, and it is a very interesting story about a young man from India who comes to Chicago in the 1970s.
So 1970s and Chicago. That means mustaches, Steve.
Yes. Mustaches is the key for Chicago in the 70s. There's no question about that.
And pantsuits. Yeah. Anyway. This looks great.
This is a story of immigration. This is a story of finding yourself and figuring out who you are and maybe acclimating to a new society, which is a challenge.
Well, you can only imagine. You've come from overseas. Mm-hmm. You've heard that the United States is a land of opportunity.
Right.
And you get here and you're recognizing that you are as foreign here and you're not really fitting in.
Right.
I mean, you're kind of not fitting in, but the people back home are just thinking that you're experiencing the most amazing things.
The land of milk and honey.
And this is the story of this gentleman. Kind of looks like he's kind of fitting in.
He's trying.
In the trailer, there's a picture of him laying in bed with like 10 other people, like wrapped around him.
Right.
And then there's also a picture of him kind of faking it till he makes it a little bit. And I think we forget that when people move to the United States, I mean, they are the people who do everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're such powerful people. They see the opportunities that many times if you grow up in this society, you don't get to see. And we get a story from that, and a comedy story,
yeah,
too.
It seems very silly. This seems like a fun exploration of all of those ideas, and still a very strong message in there, too. I do look forward to finding this one. The Tiger Hunter is what that one's called.
Book it. Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You know, I'm a teacher.
Steve is a teacher.
I don't know if I've mentioned that. But one thing I've discovered about teaching over the last 20 years is that really teachers are sociologists. We are studying how society works. How do people do things? And one of the things I like to study is the mind and something called metacognition, thinking about thinking. So I've been reading a book off and on for probably about 5 years now. It's called A Whole New Mind, Moving from the Information Age to the Conceptual Age. It's by an author named Daniel Pink.
Mr. Pink. Why can't I be Mr. Pink?
Yeah, I didn't just pick it up because it's written by Danny Pink, but yeah, I kind of did.
tell him that, because I didn't get that.
Danny Pink is a character from Doctor Who.
All right. So I said Mr. Pink because I'm thinking Reservoir Dogs.
I've never watched Reservoir Dogs.
Steve, that would make you squirm. all I can say.
I'm sure that I would squirm watching that.
There is something about Quentin Tarantino that there's a violent part that you go, ugh.
Yeah, I'm not a Quentin Tarantino fan. I did like Pulp Fiction, but okay.
All right, so let's get back to our book, because this book sounds awesome.
Okay, the beginning premise of this book is we human beings have two sides of our brain, the left brain and the right brain. The right brain is in charge of all artistic thoughts. Everything creative happens on the right-hand side of the brain. We have all sorts of tests, and we have proven this over time. The left-hand side of the brain is in charge of logical things, any kind of answer where there is a true or false answer, a math logic happens on the left. The premise of Daniel Pink's book is the right-brained people are going to be the next superstars. The left-brained people have been doing the jobs since the Industrial Revolution. Industrial Revolution was all about, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, there's a logical answer.
Well, that's the engineering part of that, sort of creating the skeleton. And you're saying that Daniel Pink is making the argument that going forward, that it's going to be about your experience with that.
It's all about creativity. It's all about concepts. It's about art. We are seeing that the skeleton that has been laid as the Industrial Revolution has created things, we now in the 21st century are seeing so much more potential art and design in everything we do, from web pages to automobiles.
Well, in fact, we demand it. Think about that's what Apple probably sold forever. Johnny Ive has sold that. In fact, the spaceship they created, the Apple spaceship, is a good example of art and using
function.
Yeah, and the function. We see it in the Google Home, your iPhone or your cell phone. You're seeing it in automobiles. You see it in so many of the things that we're using. And even when we start moving to augmented reality and stuff, there's a movement that requires, that demands it in the market, this idea of this old, where you kind of put it together and it works, is not good enough anymore. It's got to have the beauty of it.
And Danny Pink goes on further and says that the computer society that we have is going to start doing so many of those automated jobs, so many of those jobs that are repetitive, logical, this and then that jobs okay. are going to be taken over by computers. So he poses the question, what does your job look like in the next 10 to 20 years?
Maybe you take the blue pill.
He says...
Maybe you take the red pill.
Well, maybe this is all just the Matrix. We're still back to that. Okay, Elon Musk. He says, well, there are three important questions about your work. Can someone overseas do your job cheaper? Can a computer do your job faster? And is your job in demand in an age of abundance? And yeah. those are three really important questions. My field, education, certainly is on the brink of being radically changed. If all of the information is out there on the World Wide Web, do we really need teachers to show that information to the students?
And I was thinking about this as we prepared for it, and just right now, this last week, I've been working on a project for a client of mine. And we're using computers.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up having to, I mean, it was like four or five iterations of this to try to get the right question, to be able to create the right model,
mm-hmm.
to be able to provide the right information. And it was very painful. And so when we talk about creativity, that may be what we're moving to, is that we've created this structure, but now... can we get it to be helpful to us to get information that we can use?
Feeding the computer the right information to get the right result.
And not just thinking it'll put together the answer, because mm-hmm. computers are stupid.
Computers are stupid.
The creativity is being able to use it to ask the right question,
right,
to potentially be able to get the right answer, or the truer question, or the question that gives us greater probability, or whatever it is.
And that's what I try to focus on with my students in computer classes. How are you going to use this tool? If I hand you a hammer, are you going to be able to be creative with how to use it in a way to create something amazing? Same thing goes with computers. There's so much information out there. How are you going to use that tool to make something new, something that we haven't seen before? That's where he's calling the conceptual age. And it's kind of the end of the information age then.
That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying, is the information age has been for the last 40 years, and maybe we need to move past that. Maybe we take as rote, people have access to the internet. We have the information. What are we going to do with it?
Now, this is very interesting, because he wrote this in 2005. It would be almost important to have a revised edition at this point.
He does have a revised edition. I said I bought this one years ago, and I've been reading it off and on for years. There is a revised edition of this, and I wonder what has changed in this text over the last 12 years.
Very, very interesting. I'm glad you read this.
It's a good one. I do like reading about the mind. I do like reading about how we get things done, because I am a sociologist. I watch these kids doing the next thing on the list and thinking about how we did things and how they are going to get things done in the next 10 to 20 years. This is a good one. It's called A Whole New Mind, Moving from the Information Age to the Conceptual Age by Daniel Pink, and you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our Scroll with It. Microsoft Ignite happened this week. This is their really deep developers conference, where they are talking really technical stuff. They are not talking to us end consumers. Just a couple of things that I saw that I thought were kind of significant. Microsoft unveiled a new quantum computer programming language this week. The language that programmers will use to program a quantum computer in the future.
Quantum computers are far more powerful than computers we're using today.
Mind-bogglingly. So much more capacity than we have today. The idea of a computer today is you have millions of switches that are either on or off. A quantum computer might have billions of switches that are always both on and off.
Well, if you're trying to get to light speed, Steve, and you don't want to run through a planet or through an asteroid, what do you have to do?
You need to fire up the quantum computer and make sure that you chart the course.
Exactly. It's not like Dustin Crops Boy.
The future is a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago. There's no doubt about that.
Well, it looks like Office 365 is going to be free for education and teachers.
Yeah, teachers and students. You yes. have the opportunity right now to go to Office 365 and get onto the live online version of Microsoft Office. Word, Excel, PowerPoint, they're out there for free for you.
Well, now that our kids are learning Chrome on the Chromebooks and using Google Docs, obviously Microsoft is going to probably make this free very quickly.
They have been challenged.
Everybody but business.
There's no doubt that they have been challenged by Google. Business is using Google.
Yes, they are. But they're still going to charge professional version of Office. But my gut tells me that it'll be free for all of us soon, too.
Yeah, we are going to see more and more Microsoft trying to get into that market. A market that they dominated for, 30 years?
Well, they kept buying all the other companies or adding... WordPerfect offered that, and they're, that to ours, too.
Lotus 1-2-3 was a really good program, and now it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Because Microsoft Excel absolutely bowled it over. Now Google, because Google is as large as it is and as accessible as it is, Microsoft is certainly panicking and trying to get the kids back. Hey kids, this tool is much better. Yeah, this one's fine. That's a conversation that we have in class all the time. Microsoft is doing another presentation today. It is a mixed reality presentation. It looks like they are not going to show us the next generation of the HoloLens. It looks like the HoloLens is being pushed back to next year, if not 2019. So they're going to be showing us some virtual reality gear today.
Excellent.
And Google is going to show us the Pixel 2 and the Google Home Mini. That's happening tomorrow, but we all saw it already because it all leaked out like 2 weeks ago.
Imagine that.
So their presentation is going to be and this is the other thing that you've seen.
Steve, it looks like vacations are going to change dramatically.
So Clark W. Griswold wants to go to the other side of the earth for Shanghai vacation.
Exactly.
Let's do Shanghai vacation. How are we going to get there?
Rockets, Steve.
Rockets.
So this was Elon Musk. This is SpaceX.
Uh-huh.
They showed that you could, the presentation, actually the video, if you go to our notes and press through it, you can actually watch it. They're showing that you take a boat over to the rocket.
It's a launch pad in the middle of a bay somewhere.
Okay.
Maybe New York.
You take it that off.
Uh-huh.
And then you arrive in Tokyo or wherever you arrive in,
About 30 minutes to just about any part of the world you want to go to. Maybe Australia would be an hour, but okay.
All right. So it seems like that anywhere in the world is going to be a half hour or so.
Yeah.
Is what we're looking at. And the most interesting part of that, in my opinion, other than being able to travel like that, would be that it probably will take you more time to shuttle over there, to get on that rocket, to get your gear kind of sitting in your seat.
Yeah.
And then landing and departing, then it will be the actual flight.
Right.
We've tried this here. We're humans. We tried Concords before.
Yeah.
Then we never can get the price right.
Right. And that's going to be the problem with this, I think, is how do we get the price right? How do you get enough people crammed into that tube like we have with the airlines today to make it cost effective?
I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people who are going to really enjoy working for this industry.
Oh, yeah. When I was down in Florida and we went to Cape Canaveral and we saw the SpaceX, I started thinking, wow, there's so many guys who are standing around doing rocketry.
There's going to be people who've got to fly those rockets.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be the flight attendants, or I don't know what they'll call them. You can't do anything in 30 minutes.
Right.
You go up, really you're down. Yeah. Here, does everybody have their bottle of water in front of them?
Yeah. Hold on to it real tight. That's because right. We're going to go really fast.
That's right. And for those of you who are not strapped in, we'll find out real quick.
Secure all of your possessions. Otherwise, they will be in somebody else's face really quick. This is a great idea. I love the fact that Elon Musk is out there making up good ideas.
Well, he's teaching us to dream again. And yes. And that's kind of the visionary way. You know, love him or leave him. Elon Musk is teaching people to dream big again. And wow. I'm very glad for that. All right. So, Steve, we've dreamed big. We're flying everywhere.
Yep.
But give me something really practical. How about free books?
There are so many ways to get information, and free ebooks is a big part of that. I subscribe to bookbub.com, and every day they send me a list of books that I can get for either free or at a very deep discount.
Well, what I'm going to talk about is Gutenberg.org.
Yeah.
Gutenberg.org. There's probably 30, 50,000 books you can get for free.
54,000 free ebooks in Project Gutenberg right now.
So if you were, say, in a Twilight Zone episode and you didn't
time enough at last.
And if you didn't break your glasses, there's enough books that you could read forever.
Oh, there's no doubt that there is enough books to read forever. And getting access to that information is really what we're coming up against. Do you have access to this information? The answer is yes, you do. You have to know where to go.
All right, so that's to read yourself. We have Audible to have it read to you, but we also have fun things like YouTube, where people upload stuff.
Oh, man.
Steve, do you have anything that was interesting this week that anybody uploaded?
And that you found and posted on our Facebook page? Yes. Neil Adams and his friends put together a really fun look.
Well, all right. So we need to tell everybody who Neil Adams is. He's a Batman artist.
Okay.
Neil Adams is probably, before the animated Batman series, he defined the look from maybe the 60s on. So after Batman 66, after Adam West Batman, and he returned him to
the Dark Knight.
Exactly. Yeah. He has a company,
mm-hmm.
and they do commercials. They do everything. They did a Taco Bell commercial a couple of years ago. I can tell it's Neil Adams in his company as part of it.
Really?
Oh yeah, you can see it, and it's like, oh yeah, that's Neil Adams.
You're a design guy.
All right. So anyway, Neil Adams, what did he decide he was going to do?
They performed a verbal exploration of this comic book, Batman versus Elmer Fudd.
All right, so this comic came out this summer.
Okay.
So DC characters, Batman being one, were teamed up with Looney Tunes characters. They're both owned by Warner Brothers, so this was kind of
so fun. It makes sense. The Looney Tunes here are not represented by cartoon animals. They are real life people drawn into this comic book.
They meet at a bar named Porky's.
Porky's Bar, right?
Porky's Bar, and he's the bartender.
All right.
And there are people playing card games, and who do we have? We have Foghorn Leghorn.
I'll say, son!
He's playing with Yosemite Sam.
I hate rabbits.
And we run into Tweety.
I thought I saw a putty tat.
And I think we run into Sylvester,
too. Sylvester is there, too. Remember, the suffering succotash is a funny line. I won't ruin it for you, but watch this video that they made. It's 13 minutes long and it's well worth your time.
Basically, he took the comic and he performs it.
Yes.
So Neil Adams performs as Elmer Fudd. And it's all Elmer. It's written in Elmer Fudd.
I'm hunting rabbits.
Yes. Everything's got a W.
Everything's a W.
And the premise of this is that he has found Bugs the Bunny.
Right.
Drinking carrot juice at the bar.
And again, it's a human being, not a rabbit, but he's some sort of underworld character named the Bunny. Like, that's his mob name.
And he obviously took a wrong turn in Albuquerque.
This is so well done. This is so entertaining. I loved those Warner Brothers cartoons growing up. I still love them today. I own so many of them on DVD because I just enjoy that writing. This is good writing.
This is very family friendly.
Yes.
And very, very fun. It's Elmer Fudd noir.
It really is. If Elmer Fudd was in a noir picture, this would be the storyline.
He's hunting playboys.
This was so much fun. I'm glad that you found this, and I'm glad that our audience really found this on the Facebook page and really responded to it. So keep an eye on the Facebook page, because Chip finds all sorts of fun things and puts them out there.
All right, so there are people who go see Hamilton.
Yes.
And because it's a great musical.
Because it is the thing of the 21st century right now.
How about a feel-good story about going to see Hamilton here in Chicago?
Yeah, this is a story about a dad who has a son who loved this story of Hamilton, listened to the soundtrack probably as much as you do.
Hercules Mulligan! Oh, he's here!
My wife and my 11-year-old listened to this soundtrack almost as much as you do.
Well, it's so long. I mean, it's
you could just spend the whole week just listening to it.
You can listen to the first half for months and months and months. You can listen to the second half for months and months and months.
Wow.
And then you can start pulling out the stories. It really is a beautiful musical. Mm-hmm. What a great job. Anyway, this child has Down syndrome.
Correct.
And dad was concerned about how he would be able to sit through this.
Sure.
And if you are a person who's bought tickets and you had to sit next to someone who has challenges, mm-hmm. you've probably paid $400 or $500 for a seat.
And it would be terrible for anybody to ruin that experience for you, even if they can't control it. So this father brought a pair of headphones, those noise canceling, you know, go to the monster truck kind of.
Yeah, those ones that you would see maybe at the airport where the people working are wearing, mm-hmm. Or you use to mow the lawn or something like that.
Right.
Those $15 headphones.
And put them on the son, and the son enjoyed the heck out of this show.
And it was one of his favorite shows. It's one he wanted to see. That's what a amazing. Beautiful thing to happen.
That's beautiful. We all have our thing, and noise is one of my things. We have noise-canceling headphones that I walk around with often just to drown out the noise of life. This is a great story.
And I use them to work because they help me focus.
That's right.
So if you are a person, if a person was flying a lot, mm-hmm. What it ends up happening, it puts out a frequency that drowns out that that loud noise. But anyway, for me, it drowns out anything around me, and I can really focus to get some work done sometimes.
That's great. This is a great story. You find some great stories. You know, we should get together and tell more stories.
Like in a podcast?
Yes.
That would be a good thing. Steve, do you know a place?
Join us next Saturday, October 7th, downtown Elgin, Illinois, the historic place. We are going to the Blue Box Cafe. Chris Mao is welcoming us again. We must have done our right last year, because he's letting us come back. We are going to be a part of Southgate Media Group's third annual podcast marathon.
Beautiful. In fact, it goes on all day long.
Marathon style.
That's right. So we're going to be part of their podcast marathon. They're going to run two parallel marathons. There's going to be one that's going to be live mm-hmm. that you could see at the Blue Box Cafe.
Come on down and join us.
Which, if you are not familiar with that, there are people from all over the world that come. It's a Doctor Who themed
restaurant.
Coffee shop.
You need to go to the Blue Box Cafe. They have great coffee, great sandwiches, and great company.
So they're going to be streaming that live on their Facebook page and probably on YouTube.
And all the other streaming services. They use them all.
And there's a second feed that's going to be strictly people who are streaming through the podcast online. So this will be a second. You'll have to listen with two ears then.
Yeah. Like
two different podcasts going on.
Oh, this is going to be so great. This is so much fun. We had so much fun last year, and I look forward to having more fun this year.
Sure. And the entire event will have a tremendous amount. There'll be ones on all sorts of things. There'll be ones on movies. There'll be ones on television shows. There's going to be the Geek of the Week is one of the ones.
Oh, yeah. Go to Southgate Media Group and see how many shows that they are producing. They have so many shows.
And they're from across the United States.
That's right.
So they have a lot of different types of variety communities. Obviously, they're very kind to allow us to be part of this, and we can't thank them enough. But we look forward to being there.
I totally look forward to this.
We have the 8:30 in the morning slot.
Yeah, we're morning people. We're morning people. By 8 o'clock at night, you and I are asleep.
We are. We are. So we are going to be, they'll do their introduction, and we'll start right from there. We're going to record our show.
Yep.
And it'll be available the following Tuesday, as we release every Tuesday.
Yeah, every Tuesday, man. Come back here every Tuesday. We'll have enough information. What do you think? Do you think we have enough information to survive another week?
Only if we can come back next week.
Yeah, we have to do it live next week, though. We're doing it live.
Live and in person.
We'll do it live. If you need more information, you can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. I've got a secret that I'm going to share with you at the live thing.
Where, excellent.
Where we have a new way for you to contact us. But we'll talk about that next week. You can go to our website, TooMuchScrolling.com. You can send us an email, TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our new site, News.TooMuchScrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenpwo.
We'll see you in the future.
That's all, folks.